Today on The King is Coming.
If we are immersing ourselves in the Word of God, developing discernment, then we will know how to respond to those things. Not just respond to others, but how to respond internally. How not to spiral. How to thrive. In fact, how to grow and be stronger even in the midst of trials. What is biblical discernment? And how is it different from wisdom? We're going to make that distinction next on The King is Coming.
As we look at the perilous times we're living in, are you prepared to be the disciple God has called you to be? With every passing day, we draw closer to the fulfillment of God's plan. The world is changing fast, but our call as followers of Christ remains the same. Be bold, stand firm, and remain unwavering in our faith. The King is Coming is privileged to offer 7 marks of a last day's disciple, a transformative 7-part series that will open your eyes to what it means to be a true disciple in these final days. In 2 Timothy 3, 1-5, Paul warns there will be terrible times in these last days. People will be lovers of themselves, unholy, without love. But within these challenges lies our call to stand apart, equipped with faith and character that holds strong. Don't miss this essential resource. For any gift of $45 or more today, request your copy of 7 Marks of a Last Days Disciple. Call the number on your screen or visit thekingiscoming.com today. Strengthen your faith and prepare yourself to become a Last Days Disciple.
Have you given your tithe yet? You can do so here at The King is Coming. God bless. Well, God bless you, and thank you so much for joining me today on The King is Coming. Listen, this ministry exists to help you be equipped in the Word of God, to know God better so that you can be stronger and more confident as you live your life out there in this world, in these perilous times we're living in. We're in a series where we're talking about the 7 marks of a last days disciple. What does it really mean to survive and thrive in these perilous times? We've come to this session number 4 here, where we're talking about a last days disciple and how a disciple must develop discernment about the end times. Discernment about the end times. Say, Jeff, why is it so important that we understand discernment? Well, let's back up for just a moment. Let's talk about what discernment actually is. I mean, how do we understand it according to the Bible? Well, first of all, discernment and discipleship are like siblings. They're like brothers. They're in the same family. And one should accompany the other. If you're a disciple, then you should be growing in discernment. If you're discerning, then you should also be growing as a disciple. So they fit together. And the reason why we study discernment is so that we can watch over our hearts, so that we can walk in wisdom, and so that we can win others to Christ and to warn others of what's coming according to God's Word. Let's begin by just defining what discernment is. I define discernment this way. It's the ability to see and understand life, the world, and self through a biblical lens. The ability to see and understand life, the world, and self through a biblical lens. You may wear glasses, you may have contact lenses, or just have your regular eyes. But either way, we're all looking through a lens, right? And this lens of discernment, it makes things more crisp, more clear. I just got back from the eye doctor here a few days ago where my vision was corrected a little bit. He put that machine in front of your face and is this better or worse and that type of thing. Why? Because I want to be able to see the road in front of me. I want to be able to see people. I want to be able to have not blurry vision, but clear vision. So biblical discernment enables us to have clear vision about what's happening in the world, about life, about our own lives, and about the end times. So that discernment here is very close to biblical wisdom, because biblical wisdom is the outworking of that discernment. Wisdom is not just knowing what's true, it's being able to act accordingly. And that's one of the things that discernment helps us do. And so in a day where we're seeing in our world, listen, let's just face it. So much of what's happening in the world today is deception. We see deception in social media. We see it in the national news media. We see it in our own government. We see lies across the board. Why is that true? Because Jesus said in John 8:44 that Satan is the father of lies. He said that's all he knows how to do, is to deceive and to lie and to accuse. He's the accuser of the brethren. And so we're living in a culture where we're wading waist deep in deception and lies, and it's in the atmosphere. And so it's like a foggy day where you can't see through. Well, guess what? Biblical discernment cuts through the fog. Biblical discernment and wisdom help you see through the haze to see exactly what's going on and what's ahead. Now, one more thing by way of introduction we need to say about discernment is that discernment is a learned skill. It's a learned skill. It's not downloaded, but it's developed. You get that? It's not downloaded. It'd be easy if it was. I'd love for it if it was, but it's not. It's developed over time. So that's why we call discernment or development of discernment a process. It's something we get over time. And everything we've talked about in the previous episodes here in this series, they contribute towards your discernment as a disciple. It's a part of maturing in the faith. In fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 20 says this. He says, "Brethren, do not be children in your thinking." In other words, don't be like a child who can't know the difference between right and wrong, but can discern things. In fact, let me give you one more scripture on that. It just came into my mind. It's in Hebrews chapter 5. I love this. He says this. He says, verse 11, concerning him, he's talking about Melchizedek, "We have much to say, and it's hard to explain, since you've become dull of hearing." He says, "For by this time you ought to be teachers, you who need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles or principles of God." In other words, he's saying, you guys have not grown. You've been stunted in your growth. You haven't grown up in Jesus Christ. He says, by this time you should be teaching others, but you're still a baby, spiritually speaking, or an infant or a toddler. He says this. He says, "Someone to teach you the elementary principles, the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food." You should have developed teeth so you can chew solid food and bite down on a good piece of meat, you know. But he says, no, you're still at the milk stage. You know, you can't handle solid food. You can't handle deeper truth. And this is why you can't walk with a sense of confidence in your world. You don't understand why the world is the way it is, why people are acting the way they are, and what step you should take next. You know why? Because you keep drinking milk. He says, you need to get some solid food. He says, verse 13, "For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness." You're not a real student of the Bible if all you get is milk. He says, "For he is a babe," or we call a baby. Now watch this last verse. He says, "But solid food is for the mature who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil." Do you get that? Who by practice have their senses trained. So you say, you mean I got to start training? Yeah, that's what it's all about. From here to the day we go be with Jesus, we're still in training. I'm in training. I'm still learning. I'm still growing accustomed to solid food. Why? Because we have to grow in order to have strength and stability and not be swept away by every wind of doctrine, and so that we can help others as well. So discernment and discipleship are siblings. A second thing about discernment is that it enables us to detect deception and false teaching. Now, over in 1 John chapter 4, John addresses this, because in his day, he'd already said in this very epistle that that Antichrist is coming, and that false Christs have already arisen, and that the spirit of Antichrist was already there. So even in the first century, all these things were already going on. But look what he says in 1 John 4. He says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit." So just because it's published by a Christian publisher, it's on Christian TV, it's on a Christian YouTube channel, or someone's a pastor of a large church, or they have a big social media following, he says, listen, none of that matters unless they are anchored and grounded in the truth. And so our responsibility as individual believers, he says right here, test the spirits. Now, how do you test a spirit? How do you test a teacher or a preacher? How do you put the test to them? I'll tell you when we come back on The King is Coming. Hi, this is Jeff Kinley with The King is Coming. You know, each week we bring to you dedicated programming from the Word of God to equip you in how to live for Jesus Christ in this perilous times that we're living in. If this ministry has meant something to you, would you consider a generous gift to this ministry? Just go to the address on the bottom of the screen and give towards The King is Coming. God bless you. So how do we test false prophets? How do we test preachers, teachers, authors? People have TV programs. How do we put them to the test? Look what he says in 1 John 4, verse 1. He says, test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Hey, listen, there's no shortage of false prophets in the world today, my friend. All you have to do is just log on to the internet or go to Amazon and click on. There are tons of false prophets. But watch this. He says, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, of which you've heard is coming and now is already in the world. So he's saying you test it up against what they say about Jesus. Now, this doesn't mean that they're perfect in everything that they may teach. There may be some nuances here and there. Doesn't mean they're a false prophet. But what do they say about Jesus? What do they say about Jesus' word? And we talked about in a previous episode about retaining the standard of sound words and sound doctrine. That's another test that you can put up against them. What does the rest of the Bible say about what this person is teaching here? Is he quoting scripture, or is he making up some stuff that's not really there, right? That's one of the tests that we have. But when we develop discernment, it enables us to detect. Just like a metal detector. It's like when you go through the detector at the airport and your belt buckle, you know, sounds the alarm. Listen, discernment causes us to be able to detect things that shouldn't be there. And that only happens, what do we say? It's not downloaded, but it's developed. It doesn't happen in an instant. There's no drive-through discernment. You can't microwave yourself into maturity. It's a process. So as you grow, your discernment will grow as well. You'll be able to recognize those counterfeits. Over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, Paul had some false teachers sneak into the Thessalonian church. And he says, listen, you guys need to get it straight. Here's the deal. And so he gave them the truth. And what they were to do is to take the truth that Paul gave them, compare it to what the false teachers were saying, and then to reject those things because Paul was a true apostle. So it enables us to detect the deception and the false teaching. And that's very important in the age in which we live, because in that same passage, Paul said there's going to be a great falling away in the last days. So once again, living in the last days, churches are falling away. There's apostasy. They're denying core doctrines of the faith. They're bringing in immorality into the church. And you can see that and recognize that if you have discernment. Here's another characteristic about discernment, is that it cleanses our minds. It cleanses our minds. Over in Romans chapter 12, and you know this passage because Paul has written this to the Romans, who are living in a pagan culture, by the way, much like we are. And he's talking about presenting your bodies to God as a living, holy sacrifice. That's what a disciple does, right? We present ourselves to God, say, God, I belong to you, right? But notice what it says in verse 2. He says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. So don't be conformed. That word conform means to take something and press it into a prefabricated mold. So like you would take, you know, Play-Doh or clay or wax, and you would melt it in a mold. When you take the mold off, guess what's left? The exact representation of what the pressure brought to that object, that material. He's saying, do not let the world, with all of its values, its beliefs, what they think is important, with what they say you should do and not do, what they say is peace and justice and righteousness and what they say is love. Don't let them take those values and conform you, press you into its mold. He says, on the other hand, he says, be transformed. Now, you see the difference between the two? The world makes you conform. The Bible and God's Word makes you be transformed. One is from the outside pressure moving in. It's from an inward transformation of the heart. You see, God always works on the heart. You know, sometimes as parents, as we were raising our kids, there were times when I just needed them to obey me. You know, maybe they're in church and they're talking too loud. It's like, you better be quiet, you know, or your mother's going to get to you, right? So listen, there are times when you just need outward obedience. But in the end, what I really wanted was their heart. And we always aimed for the heart. Why? Because if the heart is changed, then the outward behavior will also change. But if you just change the outward behavior, then guess what? You've not reached the heart. So God's word here, it says, be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind? With the word of God. So the word of God cleanses our mind. Just like every day you take a bath, you take a shower. Why? Because you've accumulated stuff. You don't smell too good, right? You need to take a shower. You get some good soap on you, something that smells good, right? Guess what? That's what the Word of God does to us. It cleanses off the dirt that's accumulated, just the dust and the grime from the world. And all of a sudden now we're able to see and to be who God wants us to be. Now, what's the result of that? Now, this relates to discernment. In Romans 12, 2, renewing of your mind so that you may prove or demonstrate what the will of God is. See, you can discern the will of God for your life and for the world if you know the Word of God. If the Word of God is transforming our thinking patterns, our thinking processes. And what is that will of God? He says it right here. That which is good, that which is acceptable, and that which is perfect. It's good for us. It's acceptable when we understand where it's coming from, and it's a perfect plan for our lives. You can't improve upon the will of God. But when we develop biblical discernment, guess what happens? We're able to know these things, and we do it by having the Word of God transform our minds. Ephesians 5 verses 25 through 27 is speaking here in the context of the relationship between a husband and a wife. But watch what he says. He says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. Why? That he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. So the word of God, as it comes into our life, what does it do? It just cleans us out. You know, it just cleans out the stuff that's accumulated. It's like getting your teeth cleaned at the dentist. You just feel fresh. You know, you feel like you're brighter and whiter because the Word of God cleanses us. And so that's why, as we talked about in the last program, about why it's so important for us to be into the Word and for the Word to be into us. And we talked about ways to do that and why that's so critical for our lives as believers here. And so that's why it's important for us to do this. Ephesians chapter 5, then from Philippians chapter 4, it says, as far as dwelling on the things in our mind, it says, brethren, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good reputation, if there's any excellence in anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. That's the Word of God. Paul's not telling him, here's how I pitch a tent, here's how I lead sheep. No, he's saying this is how the Word of God is. So how does the Word of God do that in our lives? I mean, why is it so important for us as it relates to the last days? I'll tell you when we come back on The King is Coming. Hi, this is Jeff Kinley with The King is Coming. You know, each week we bring to you dedicated programming from the Word of God to equip you in how to live for Jesus Christ in this perilous times that we're living in. If this ministry has meant something to you, would you consider a generous gift to this ministry? Just go to the address on the bottom of the screen and give towards The King is Coming. God bless you. So we're talking about discernment. And we said that discernment cleanses our minds. It enables us to think clearly. If you're an athlete at a high professional level, or you're a professional, anything that you do, if you're a pilot in an airplane, you need to be able to think clearly. If you're a believer, if you're a disciple walking in a world that is full of lies and deceptions, you must be able to think clearly. You must be able to calibrate your mind and have a fixation point where you can see through all the fog. And the Word of God does that for us. So how does this relate then to the last days, to the days in which we're living? Well, the Bible tells us in 1 John 2:18, as we've talked about this earlier, is that John said, it is the last hour. So we know we're living in the last days. In fact, Scripture tells us in the book of Daniel, that in the last days, there are going to be certain characteristics that we'll see in the last days. He tells us a lot about the tribulation, as does 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, as does obviously the book of Revelation. But Jesus in Matthew 24, when he started telling his disciples about the last days, and he starts describing what essentially is the first half of the tribulation period, we're reading that, we're going, wait a minute, that sounds like the time we're living in right now. Now, it's not, because he is speaking specifically about the tribulation period, but leading up to that time, we're going to experience the foreshocks or the previews of that actual day and age. And I believe we are living in that reality right now. As I've said before, they're like tributaries coming into one mighty prophetic stream that God has, his grand narrative of prophecy for the last days. Things are lining up. We're seeing the signs on the horizon. So how does discernment relate to that? Well, when you study Bible prophecy, you get discernment concerning the last days. And here's kind of how I like to see it. It's like those Navy SEALs that wear those night vision goggles that kind of click down, and all of a sudden it's in pitch dark, but they can see various heat signatures in the dark. Things the human eye could never pick up are glowing brightly to them. Now, why is that so important? Well, because you and I are living in a day that is marked by great darkness. And the darker it gets, the harder it is to see. If you're a believer and you don't know Bible prophecy or you don't understand biblical discernment, you're going to be able to understand some things because you can see basic good and evil. But when you walk in this world, you're able to navigate those smaller landmines, those smaller traps, those smaller potholes, if you will, that are out there that might trip you up. And so as you walk through these last days, discernment informs the times in which you are living, and you're able to actually understand what's happening. And this is what 2 Chronicles 12:32 says about the sons of Issachar. It says they were men who understood the times with wisdom as to how we should live. Let me give you another thing that discernment will do for you. Discernment will help you make sense of humanity as it is right now. So what do you mean by that? Well, we don't have time to go to all these scriptures, but just maybe write these down. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32, basically give you an overview of the age in which you and I are living in right now. It tells you why people believe what they believe, why they are saying the things that they're doing, why they're doing the things that they're doing, why they're into such aberrance concerning morality, such perversions, and why they don't care. And why, when you try to talk to them about it, they will express hate towards you. Why does that happen? Romans 1, 18 through 32 tells us, when we reject God as creator, then we are become futile in our speculations. God turns the lights down on us because we don't have the answer anymore. The creator is out of the picture, so we got to make up a whole new reality. And we begin to going into worshiping other gods and worshiping the creature, which leads to a sexual revolution, which leads to a homosexual revolution, which leads to a mind that no longer even tracks with anything related to God. And that's where our society, that's where many individuals are right now. And there comes a point where God gives over an individual, or God gives over a society. But when you have biblical discernment, you can at least track where society is, where humanity is going. And then when you look at the book of Revelation, what you find in Revelation chapter 6 is that humanity at the beginning of God's judgments is hiding from God. They know who's bringing the judgment, but they're hiding from God. Then you go to chapter 9, humanity's not hiding anymore, but they're sinning even more, and they're enjoying their sin, and they stubbornly refuse to repent. Then you go to chapter 16, and you find out that now the judgments of God continue to come. Now they're not hiding, they're not just sinning, but they're blaspheming God. In fact, it says it more than once in that passage, they blaspheme God. And you keep going all the way to chapter 19, and they've gathered together on one battlefield to try to kill God. So this is where humanity is going. When you reject God as creator, you keep going down this more immoral path. You get to the point where you just keep sinning and sinning. You don't care about God. Then you blaspheme God because he's bringing these judgments. And then finally, what do? You end up wanting to kill God. Why? Because God's the one, He's the cause of your misery. You want to get rid of God. That's the ultimate of where sin takes people. Well, you can't see that in humanity, those specifics, unless you have biblical discernment. And you can only have biblical discernment when you are in the Word of God. One last thing is that biblical discernment not only gives us wisdom for life's decisions, but enables us to navigate, survive, and thrive through hard times. David says in Psalm 119, verses 98 through 102, it says, I have more wisdom than all my teachers. Because why? Because I know the Word of God. In James chapter 1, it says, brethren, if any of you lacks wisdom as you're going through these trials, ask of God, and He will give it to you, give you discernment to know how to navigate through these trials that, guess what, all of us go through in our lives, right? There's not a one of us that are exempt from hard times and before the tribulation. We're going to be ostracized, perhaps persecuted, made fun of, maligned. We're going to be accused of things. We're going to experience a lot of that, you know, in this life that we live. But guess what? If we are immersing ourselves in the Word of God, developing discernment, then we will know how to respond to those things. Not just respond to others, but how to respond internally. How not to spiral. How to thrive. In fact, how to grow and be stronger, even in the midst of trials. And listen, having a stiff upper lip won't do that for you. Going to the gym twice a week won't do that for you. Only thing that's going to do that for you is biblical discernment, and that only comes when we immerse ourselves into the beautiful Word of God. So, a last days disciple is one who develops discernment specifically as it relates to the end times. And you can do it, my friend. Get into the Word and watch God begin to grow you. I'll see you next time on The King Is Coming. What if you could take your worship to the next level? Would you be interested? In our series, The Essence of Worship, we discover the key elements that help us understand how to be a worshiper of God and how to connect with more intimacy with Jesus Christ.
For any gift of $45 or more to The King Is Coming, get your copy of this inspiring 7-part DVD set, The Essence of Worship. Call the number on your screen or go to thekingiscoming.com now. Thank you.
My latest book, The End of the World According to Jesus of Nazareth, is a book that takes you to the end times through the eyes of Jesus Himself. If you'd like a copy of this book, make a donation to The King Is Coming. God bless.
You don't want to miss this opportunity to get Jeff Kinley's newest book. For any gift of $20 or more to The King Is Coming, get your copy of The End of the World According to Jesus of Nazareth. Call now or go to thekingiscoming.com today. Thank you. In a time of uncertainty and spiritual slumber, Jeff Kinley awakens the modern church with his innovative guide to the book of Revelation. Just as the Apostle John and Paul urge believers to wake up and strengthen what remains, Jeff inspires a renewed readiness for Christ's return. Discover not just signs of the times, but the spirit and character Christ desires for His bride. For any gift of $20 or more to The King Is Coming, ask for your copy of the amazing book, Wake the Bride, Facing These Last Days with Your Eyes Wide Open. Call now or go to thekingiscoming.com today.